I'd like to read in John's Gospel, please, first of all. John 19, verse 10, page 1296. Pilate therefore says to him, "Speakest thou not to me? Dost thou not know that I have authority to release thee and have authority to crucify thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou hadst no authority whatever against me if it were not given to thee from above. On this account, he that has delivered me up to thee has the greater sin." From this time, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou releasest this man, thou art not a friend to Caesar. Everyone making himself a king speaks against Caesar." Pilate, therefore, having heard these words, led Jesus out and sat down upon the judgment seat at a place called Pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he says to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, take him away, crucify him." Pilate says to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then therefore he delivered him up to them, that he might be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And then in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 1, verse 21, and they go into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, but he taught them as having authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man possessed by an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What are we to do with thee, Jesus, Nazarene? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, having torn him, and uttered a cry with a loud voice, came out of him. And all were amazed. So they questioned together among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And then in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. God, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent, because he has set the day in which he is going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, giving the proof of it to all in having raised him from among the dead. And then finally, in Romans, in chapter 5, and verse 7. Romans 5 and verse 7. "For scarcely for the just man will one die. For perhaps for the good man someone might also dare to die. But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. Much rather, therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood, we shall be saved by him from wrath. For if, being enemies, we have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much rather, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in the power of his life." I just wanted to say a little as to the greatness of the authority with which the Lord Jesus himself speaks. I think we've been impressed with this matter in the last two or three or four readings that we've had here. And where I read in John, we get Pilate, who represents the world system, I think. He says, "I have authority to release thee and have authority to crucify thee." These are the thoughts men. These are the thoughts that go through the minds of those who are in power. They revel in the authority that they think they have. But when they have someone as Jesus was here, he's able to speak with divine authority. And that's the difference between man's authority and God's authority. Jesus speaks with divine authority here, even though he was, as we would say, arraigned before a judge, a ruler. And yet he's able to answer at this point, because he's been silent up to now, he's been able to answer as to the authority with which he was able to speak. He was able to tell Pilate that his authority came only from God himself. And he says, "Thou hast no authority whatever against me, were it not given to thee from above." We think of the power, we think of the authority that marks the Lord Jesus. Where I read in Mark's Gospel, again, it speaks of those who heard the Lord speaking. In the synagogue, he spoke with power, he spoke with authority. It says elsewhere, never man spake as this man speaks. What a wonderful Saviour we have to speak of. The Lord Jesus, in his love towards man, speaks with authority. You might say that sounds incongruous, but it isn't. When you think of the power that the Lord Jesus has to forgive sin, you want to know that the person who is able to forgive sin speaks with authority. And he does. He speaks with the authority that comes from God. And I'm just impressed with the way that the Lord is able to speak in these definite words that he uses. It says they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as having authority and not as the scribes. And then he goes on to say, "For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And those unclean spirits, they knew who it was that was speaking to them. The Pharisees and the scribes and the doctors of the law, they had no idea who it was that spoke. But the demons, the unclean spirits, they knew who it was. So in the glad tidings, as I speak, you know who it is that's speaking to you. The word comes via me, so to speak, but the message comes with authority from God himself, because he's not willing the death of a sinner. He desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. As one remarked in the reading this afternoon, the Lord Jesus is more willing to save than we are to be saved. Just think of that. Such is the stubbornness and the hardness of man's heart. And the Lord Jesus desires, with the authority given to him by God himself, that we come to know the blessed Saviour. So, I read in Acts, because this is an interesting scripture, because this is Paul speaking. He's in Athens, and he's looking around at all the different things that the Athenians worshipped. He says, "I see you given up to demon worship. For passing through, beholding your shrines, I found also an altar on which was inscribed to the unknown God." So they were worshipping all kinds of different gods. And yet, Paul is able to say, I think he's quoting from a scripture here, "God therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent. Now, when I was looking for that scripture, I thought that the word here was God commands. Well, I went to the King James Version, and it says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So, as we had the question in the reading this afternoon, is this an invitation or is it a command? Well, this is an invitation that you cannot refuse. So in that sense, it's a command. God, in his love, enjoins all men everywhere to repent. Think of the overtures of grace from such a one as the Saviour. The one who came here at the behest of his God and Father, came here amongst men, was found, as the scripture says, in figure as a man. And yet, you know, he moved, he did the wonderful miracles, the raising of Lazarus, the cleansing of the lepers, all those things the Lord Jesus did. Weeping over Jerusalem, such was his heart of love, when he saw what was going on in that place. That place, Jerusalem, that he loved. Jerusalem speaks of the praise of Zion, that which God is so worthy of. And in this scripture here, it speaks of God enjoining or commanding all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has set a day when he's going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. Think of that, the man whom he has appointed. There's only one that God could appoint. There's only one who is perfect and just, only one who is able to forgive sinners. And so I would just encourage each one of us to know something of the person of whom I'm speaking. The greatness of God seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who desires your blessing. He doesn't want to find you on the outside of that door. We know that this day of grace is soon coming to an end. We see it on every side. Everything is in place for another conflagration, another world war maybe, whatever it may be. God has set a day. And man, it says, man perceiveth it not. Man doesn't understand how God works. Man doesn't understand the overtures of God working in grace. And yet, you know, as we had in the Gospel last week, we were reminded afresh that the Lord is coming for his own. That shout from heaven, the voice of Archangel, that's what we're waiting to hear. There's no signs we look for. It's the trumpet sound is what we're waiting to hear. And that trumpet sound will herald the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for all who love him and put their faith and trust in his finished work. Well, just to conclude, I read in Romans, and it speaks there as to the greatness of Christ's love. It says, God, not this time commands, but God commends his love to us, in that we being still sinners. Yes, this happened when we were away from God, when we were away in the far country. It says, we being still sinners, Christ died for us. Think of the love. Think of the greatness of God's thoughts, that he should send his only beloved son to this scene to suffer and to die. Though we were still sinners, he did that though we were far from him. And yet in his grace and mercy, his love has been commended to us. And it says here, much rather therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood. Yes, that's how we are cleansed from sin, in the power of his blood. justified, it says, just as though I've never sinned. There's another meaning of that word, if you like. Mm. Just as though I've never sinned. Think of that. Sin cannot be found in God's presence. God is too holy to look upon sin. And yet you, dear hearer, are going to dwell with God eternally. Mm. How is that? Only through the cleansing power of the precious blood of Christ that washes you clean from all sin. And then it says, for if, being enemies, we have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much rather, having been reconciled, we should be saved in the power of his life. Christ is no longer on that cross. He's no longer in the grave. He's been into death. He's been into the grave itself, but he's come out triumphant. He's broken its power. And we live because he lives. He lives at God's right hand. Mm. How wonderful it is that we can say these things with assurance. Mm. We're not in any doubt about what we proclaim, because it's found here in the Word of God. Mm. Now the crowd, as we were remarking in the reading this afternoon, they came to hear the Word of God. Mm. That is the Word of life. Mm. That's the Word that will strengthen even the most feeble or failing heart. The Word that comes from God is the Word of life. Mm. Well, maybe just be encouraged with these simple words. Yeah. They're words of love. They're words of encouragement. Mm. They come from the Saviour's heart. Mm. I just desire that you may know something of the peace and the joy that comes with believing upon the one who came to die. May the Lord bless the word.
Amen. Amen.